It's time for this week's edition of Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello, good sir.
Good evening. How's everybody out there?
Wonderful. How are you this afternoon?
I'm better this afternoon than I was yesterday afternoon, I'll tell you that. My daughter gave me that 24-hour thing. Woo! Don't get it.
Is that worse? Because, I mean, I had the COVIDs, but I was never really sick, so I think I'll take that.
COVID for me was benign. This was just like this 24-hour, parts of me were chilled and parts of me were on fire at the same time. I couldn't figure out, like, what part to cover with the blanket.
Oh, that's
and
no good.
Now it's gone. But now it's gone. Like, it was like, oh my gory. So thank God for that, like, this week of all, right? But, which is, by the way, to say when you come in, feel free to wear masks if you're not feeling well. We may be masked for the same reason. So it's still a thing, man. It's crazy. But, you know, it's cool. Everybody's, like, cool with it now, which is great. It allows, you know, us to be sort of civil and normal. Which is to say, by the way, we're jumping here at Bangor Wine and Cheese, and we look forward to seeing all of you. We're here until 6 o'clock on the 24th, and it's just so nice to see so many of you already, and please keep coming on and put us to work. We're ready for you. And I hope apparently everybody's completely forgotten. It's so funny, like me too. Like everybody's just forgotten that, like, you know, we all have to give each other things in a few days, and now people are like, I don't know what. So if you don't know what, come on down. And if you do know what, come on down. So it's our special Holy Land edition that I always do every year at this time. I kind of like to talk, and actually it came up recently several times, and so it's kind of fun to revisit. So I always like to start off with this quote by Jancis Robinson, the famous master of wine. There may be dispute about where wine was originally made, but no doubt that the Middle East is the birthplace of the culture of drinking wine. Which is obviously interesting today. I mean, of course, a lot of us think about the Middle East, most recently with the World Cup being sort of, you know, drinking as verboten, except in, like, the fan zones. But, you know, it's true that there's a long tradition of drinking wine in that region. And some of the most wonderful wine regions in the world are indeed in that area that is just, it's so roiled in strife that it's hard to sort of put any stamp on it, but we'll try today. I also, the thing that came up recently, which is kind of funny, is everybody kind of likes to joke about, or not joke, I take that back for your fans who are religious, but people like to talk about Jesus making wine, and they do like to joke with me about it because I'm a wine merchant. You know, we do talk about it. You know, he in the book of John, that's what he did. But we have no idea what it might have been like. And I just kind of want to fill you all in on what it may have been like. Really are two main kind of wines that it probably was or that they were drinking at the time. Maybe the wines that they ran out of.
It wasn't Manischewitz?
It wasn't Manischewitz, believe it or not, which is made out of, by the way, Concord grapes, which are found here. So they have no connection to Holy Land whatsoever. The probable one was called Yayin, which generally means to boil up or ferment, and it is the, quote, alcoholic liquid in ancient Palestine, because beer is, and I have not done an exhaustive reading of the Bible since my Bible study days, so feel free to correct me, but I don't believe that beer is referred to in the Bible. So Yayin is typically the thing that they were talking about. And there was two types of Yayin, one that was drunk as is and one that was cut with water, presumably a stronger version. The other one is Tirosh, which is almost, it sounds to me, very much like Beaujolais Nouveau. It was the sweet wine, the season's new wine. I imagine they probably didn't even let it ferment all the way, hence the reason there was some residual sugar and sweetness. So that was the wine that came, you know, like late summer, early fall, which seems to me like, yeah, that's when, you know, grapes are probably super ripe, and if you don't ferment it out, then there you go. Yayin, however, the prior wine, had to be aged for a little while, at least several months. So there was probably sediment in it, things like that, that needed to fall out of solution. The only other wine that I came across is called Chemarin, which was means the oldest wine. It was the dregs, basically. Very often you'd add newer wine to give it a little bit more tastiness. So those are your sort of biblical time wines that when folks are drinking in the Bible, that's what they were talking about. There was also another. It's not really alcoholic, but basically they had sort of just the grape juice, that was made from the must. So when you you get the fresh juice from the crushed grapes, high sugar content, not meant to ferment, but because it has a high sugar content and you're in a warm place and you don't store it right, it could easily ferment. So it may have been alcoholic at times. So there's that too. In terms of the region itself right now as it sits, obviously Israel is probably the most important in terms of export, and also, meeting the world's demand for kosher wines. There was a lot of sweet red, which was produced for the Kiddush, which is the blessing over the wine. But in the 1970s, you started to see planting on the Golan Heights and other high altitude, and a theme very common in a lot of our chats, high altitude sites where you all of a sudden are starting to make, quality Cab, quality Shiraz, quality Merlot, Chard, Sauvignon Blanc, etc. So, and while a lot of it is kosher, some of it is indeed not. So it's really interesting. It's a very interesting scene, but of course, as I mentioned earlier, it's also a scene that's kind of constantly a little shaky. Lebanon is the other area that is certainly serious in terms of world export. We certainly have had quality Lebanese wines here in the store. And you're starting to see a lot of international investment there. But the winemaking in Lebanon, there's records from 4500 BC of Phoenicians doing trading in wine there. So it's always been sort of around. But just to give you an example of how much more around it is now, in 1990 there were three producers, including the very famous Chateau Mussar. But by the end of the last decade, there was approaching 50, which doesn't sound like a lot, but again, it's a place which is sort of where they're trying to figure it out. And when they are figuring it out, it's tremendously good. Most of the grape varietals you see there, you do have Cab Merlot and Syrah, but you are sort of having a lot of these really cool southern French varietals, Saint-Saul, Carignan, Grenache, Mourvèdre. So it's really kind of an interesting place to keep your eye on, and the quality of the wines that I've had from there are just not to be questioned. The other interesting area that's sort of in that region, of course, it's in the middle of the Mediterranean, is Cyprus. Again, one of the oldest winemaking traditions dating back to 3500 BC, and it was acknowledged in the Middle Ages as producing the finest sweet wine in the world, which is thought to be a forerunner of what they call Camandaria today. It was never invaded by the phylloxera louse, and currently, even today, strict quarantine exists to keep it out. So it's just a lot of really tremendously interesting stuff coming out of there. How am I doing for time?
We've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay. I'm going to jump really quick because, as I always forget right up until today, Rich does not have a live show next week. So I just want to touch on bubbles really quick, and especially this year. We are hyper aware that, everybody's budgets are tough, and a lot of people want to come in, and they always ask for champagne. And we will lead you to the champagne, but I just want to remind everybody that sparkling wine is made all over the world, and champagne obviously demands premium prices, although I do have some that are at phenomenally good prices for champagne from Champagne. But do understand that we have so many wonderful options out there, we and all the other wine merchants out there. So please, you know, we want to make you guys happy in your budget. Don't be afraid to tell us what you're comfortable with, and we're going to hook you guys up for the your New Year's celebrations and all your festivities in the ways that make you happy. So I just want to remind everybody that everybody's going to come in asking for champagne, and I don't want sticker shock to scare you off from it. There's some killer stuff out there that has nothing to do with France or maybe another place in France. But even though I'm a Francophile, don't be afraid to say, let's look at Cava. Let's look at, stuff from south of Champagne, whatever. But yeah, just a quick tip from your favorite wine merchant. Otherwise, just come on in. And like I said, we're here until 6 o'clock on Saturday, and then we'll be back at it Tuesday till Thursday. Friday at 2 o'clock next week.
Excellent. Well, Erica, thank you much. By the way, congratulations to Christine on her academic excellence. Well done there.
I am in a house with two brainiac women, and my son and I are just constantly like, we're smart too. But they are amazing. Well, thank you. I'll tell her.
All right. And
everyone.
If I don't see you in the store, have a wonderful Christmas, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
You both do the same, and happy holidays to all your families as well. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Eric. Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.